I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no. And Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
Before we do get into the wrestling stuff, I know a lot of people have been reaching out to me talking about Brad. Many of you know that I do. I've only been with Brad for 20 years, which sounds pretty gay. But we debuted the Brad and Britt show on WZTK, and Brian Williams was with us on that day as Brian McKay, our traffic guy. I had no idea who Brian McKay was back in July of 2004. I had no idea. No clue. That's how we met. But
I don't know if I did.
And we will be celebrating our 20th year together, either as a team on the radio or on podcasting in July. Brad has been going through some health challenges lately. I don't know. I can't remember what the name of the disease that he has is, but he's been diagnosed with something where his bone marrow does not make enough white blood cells. He went to the doctor, just to his GP, and they said, you're not making many white blood cells. And they come back, and I came back and referred it. They eventually diagnosed him with this thing. He's getting a bone marrow transplant. He has not been, as far as he's told me, he's not been diagnosed with cancer. But if they let this go, this will turn into leukemia. So he'll be in the hospital for another month. And they have to give him chemo and take his immune system down to nada. Then they give him the bone marrow transplant and then make sure his body doesn't reject it. And then hopefully everything works out and they send him home. So everybody's been talking about that. He has not been suffering any ill health effects up until this week when he took the chemo. I don't know how that's hitting him per se. But yeah, so he's good right now, and I appreciate everybody who's been really nice about all that. And I think he's got a really good medical team. It doesn't hurt that his wife is a medical doctor, so she can advocate for him. So they caught it early, and hopefully everything will be working out. So I know a lot of people were interested in that.
Well, it does sound like there are really more positives than negatives at this point for him. So.
Yeah, I think I've been in denial, I think, about it. But
it's hard, man. It's hard to come to grips with something like that.
And I'm not even the guy that's, I'm not even the guy that's been, in jeopardy or whatever. But, yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about wrestling. Hey, you want to try to call Stutz? You want to call, see if Stutzy's up at the –
see if he's – yeah, call him.
Up at the Mania. See if he's there.
I know he was already drinking this morning. He was mixing drinks at 8:45.
Is he already?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The Kane thing. I don't know if he's going to be around. He's probably watching some GCW guys shoving tubes into their asses or something.
Something, yeah.
I've got a meet and greet with Blackjack Mulligan's fifth cousin. I can't.
Put this bitch on silent.
Yeah, that's fine. He'll probably call back.
Yeah.
So
he always has an
CM
open
Punk
line
thing
to
you have
show.
Seen. He always, as always, the most canceled man in wrestling. Brad Shepherd thinks that he's canceled. Oh, no.
No, no.
And again, I just want to point out this man who's supposedly a sick pervert is probably up in Philadelphia right now hanging out with his wife for WrestleMania. Probably, because that's where they just do shit all the time together.
This sick pervert
who hasn't been charged with anything. I don't think he's even been questioned in relation to anything.
I don't know, man. I've always kind of had that little question mark, but, whatevs.
There's no record of, anything. There's no, hey, the cops went and talked to me about X, Y, and Z. There's not even – you can't find that anywhere.
Yeah, Google it. Google him. See if you can find something. Tell me.
There's nothing. There's no. I don't even think he's been detained. Like, hey, who threw that trash on the ground? Was it you? No. Okay, you're free to go. No, but there's not even that.
No. So it's not.
One of these,
weird.
I think one of these days, I think we end our show the day we can get Bruce Mitchell and Brad Stutz name clear in professional wrestling. The way
that would be nice.
We can finally get them back in, like, maybe we overreacted. If we can get people to go, maybe it was an overreaction.
Maybe two great wrestling minds. I mean, it's just, come on, man. Come on.
So you saw you were watching the CM Punk thing.
Yes.
Tell me your initial thoughts on the CM Punk thing.
Well, it's about what I thought it would be. I really didn't know what I thought it would be. It was just typical Punk, you know, a typical Punk interview. It was nothing that I was like, I can't believe that. I don't know what happens in the last 20 minutes. I've only saw up to an hour and 28 minutes of the hour and 50 minutes of it. So I don't know how much I haven't seen yet, but I think I've seen the good amount of the stuff that I wanted to see for sure. And based on all that, you know, I think we were right, man. We've been right this whole time. How do you not believe him?
It's hard not to drink in the affirmation, not the information that was given from this thing, right?
I mean, I feel validated after watching is what I feel.
I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about it in concert with what happened at the beginning of the Dynamite show on Wednesday night. Edge has to come out and make this rah-rah, everything's fine, we're the best, we have incredible wrestlers here. Isn't he kind of telling him on himself that things may not be so great around there?
Thank you for saying that. I wasn't going to say anything until we got around to it, but I purposely...
Aren't these like the Facebook couples where you see the guy post the picture or the woman post the picture of the family? She goes, I just love my husband so much, and he's so faithful to me, and I love him, and he's great, and everything's great, and he loves me, love, love, love. And aren't you kind of telling on yourself at that point?
Seems like it. I mean, that... Especially if you're coming back with something like that. It's not even just putting it out there just for the heck of it, but just timing-wise, you know, after this was the interview was dropped and Edge comes out. I mean, it's just so obvious what's going on here. But I'm glad you said that, because before we came on, it was weird because when I watched Dynamite, I came in and watched it like right after that interview. I mean, I watched it, right after that promo. And I never went back to watch it. I started with the Ospreay match and Hobbs match, but I never went back until this morning. I went back and watched it before we started recording, because I wanted to see what he said, you know.
Right, because you've been hearing about
that. Was weak, man. That was just, I'm sorry, Edge, I love you, but that was weak. That was weak.
He's like, how has Tony Khan been around wrestling for this long and he's not learned how to no-sell? Like, if somebody says that shit about you, and unless it, like, bothers the fuck out of you, which it clearly did, you just...
Clearly?
Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm good. We've moved past it. I thought that's what you were supposed to do, was no-sell that shit. But no, he sold the fuck out of it.
But you know, he's the one that has to have the NDA, NDA. No comment, NDA. Well, I'm going to respond to that interview. Edge, will you go out there and talk for me?
I don't know. The whole thing is very bizarre to me. The whole thing is just
really bizarre.
Like you're basically validating everything that he said. Like you just no sell it. It doesn't bother you. That's another saying we have in the South. If he's hollering, he's hit. If the guy's squealing like that, then obviously he had a point. Then CM Punk had a point. What he was saying was correct. Otherwise, you wouldn't have an Edge out there doing this. I'm the greatest. We're the greatest. We have the best wrestlers. Everybody, let's just go kick ass. You wouldn't have that speech, would you?
No. If he's going to do anything, why didn't he just have little subtle things throughout the show? You know, just a little subtle, you know, kind of like WWE did when Punk was coming up on Survivor Series and people would say best in the world or... And stuff like that, just drop it in, and yes, people would be like, did he just say best in the world? You know, why didn't he do something like that instead of starting the show with it, just blatant as everything? I mean,
we're going to come right out of Big Bang Theory, and you just start talking. That's what we're going to do.
Yes, right. I'm telling you, man. I just shook my head the whole time.
So I want to break that down. I don't have the audio because I would be well prepared and a good host if I did that. But I think everybody's heard it by now. Punk is backstage in London, and Tony Schiavone has to come up to him. He goes, "Look, I got a problem. I need you to help me. Jack Perry wants to do this thing with the glass. He's cussing me out. He's cussing this out. He's cussing the dead queen out. He's cussing Kate Middleton out. He's cussing everybody out. Just, can you please come back here and help me with this situation?" Well, right off the bat, what's wrong with that? Why can't Tony Schiavone not go to Tony Khan, who, by the way, I think signs the paychecks, and says to Jack Perry, "Cut this shit and do what you're told"? Why can't that happen? Why does Phil Brooks, who doesn't sign the paychecks, have to go and calm the situation down?
That is a good question. I guess the only answer that I can think of for that Punk was kind of maybe allegated to have that, not really authority, but since it was his show, maybe people were told, if you have a question about something, Punk is the man to talk to, and if it gets escalated, then come to me. I mean, I'm being very, very, very half glass full here, but I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, but that is a valid question.
You go, and so he goes back. Punk talks to him. He goes, "Why do you want to do this? You're going to hurt yourself. This is a rental car. It's not going to make a difference on this. We're not doing this on my show. You're on my show," which I guess would be go to your point. It was the Collision show, which was Punk's baby. And he goes, "We're not doing this on Saturday night. If you want to do that shit, go back to Wednesday or whatever." So we all know by now that Jack does whatever he wants to do and then makes a remark on video. "Hey, it's real glass. Deal with it." And then when he goes backstage, Punk, I don't know who talked to whom first. I'm not sure how that goes. I think in Punk's version, Jungle Jack was aggressive and he was the guy that came up and said something to Punk first. But Punk basically goes, "Why did you do it? What did you do? Why? I told you not to do it. It was a dumb thing to do. Why did you do it?" And Jack goes, "Well, what are you going to do about it? Or if you don't like it, do something about it."
That was my favorite part. His response to that. Punk's response to that. "Come on, man. You don't want me to do anything about it. I'll kill you."
"Mr. Perry, we've now reached the find out portion of the program." Punk choked him. He was told to stop. And then he yells at Tony and says, "You're a fucking joke. You're a fucking clown. This is not a real company. I quit." He goes back to his locker room. Punk says, according to him, that Samoa Joe and Jerry Lynn go back there. "Come on, man, just come out and do the match. Just kill it. It'll be it. That's all." And Punk goes, "Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it for you. I'll do it. He says he did it for him, for Joe and for Jerry Lynn and for Paul Turner, which I would say it would be in that order.
I would think so. I would hope so. But yes.
I don't really have anything against Paul Turner. He's like probably the second best referee in the promotion. And he did do that one thing when the guy got hurt that time and stopped the match, which I thought was all right. That was fine. So they go, they have the match. He does what he does. And then Punk goes out and he's hanging out backstage and just chilling with his crew. And the security guy comes
up. Who remains nameless.
The security guy goes, what are your plans for the rest of the evening? I was going to take the Beatles tour, get on a double-decker bus, all that kind of shit. Go see what Big Ben's all about. I hear London Bridge is super fun. He said, "I was just going to hang out here, watch the show, enjoy a Caesar salad or whatnot." And the security guy goes, "Yeah." Punk goes, "Look, would it be easier for you if I wasn't here? Would that be an easier thing if I perhaps was like, you're here, but I'm like somewhere else? Would that be something easier?" And the security guy said, Yeah, I think that would be a little bit easier for me.
Maybe so.
Again, this asshole, selfish punk who is locker room poison is asking the lowly security guy how to make his job easier. He had every right to hang out backstage. He wasn't asked to leave. He just asked the guy, he goes, look, if this is bad for you, I'll head over to the hotel room, eat some Nando's. I don't know what Nando's is, but it sounds amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know what that was.
Must be like really good curry chicken or spicy chicken or something. I've obviously never been to Great Britain, so I wouldn't know, but I hear it's great. And so he goes back to the hotel and he's, you know, eating some Nando's, watching the pay-per-view and chilling with his homies. And that's kind of the end of it. That's kind of the end of the story, except he talked about how irresponsible it was for nobody to be at the airport to pick him up, even though he's never really bitched about it or anything. He's been like, I took the tube and we took pictures of people on the tube and it was good.
But it's like he said, man, it's like everything he does just, I won't say inexplicably, because we know why they people do it. They're just dumb wrestling fans that don't like him and stuff. Just start shit. And he's always been like, you know, anything I do kind of gets blown up into just this disturbingly big to do about over nothing, when in essence it was nothing. I mean, it just got exploded into what it was. And that was one of them, that whole him talking about nobody was there to pick me up at the airport. So I just took the tube and, you know, and people saw me and took some pictures, and that's how it even got out into the public. Otherwise,
did he go, fuck you guys, I'm pissed, I didn't get picked up at the airport in a limo. No, get away from me. No, he's like, hey, I'll take some pictures. That's cool.
Come on. But yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but that's one reason why I'm kind of a punk guy, because of stuff like that, because I understand what he's talking about when it comes to that.
I mean, and I have, it becomes an easy narrative. Like, oh, this guy's an asshole everywhere he goes. I mean, he has his own way of doing things, but there's a reason why he's an asshole in the cases he's been an asshole. When he walked out of the WWE, there was a reason that he had been a dick for all those times, and he laid it out very well in that Colt Cabana podcast. It was this after this after this, and then they've got the fucking MRSA on him, and they won't do anything about the fucking MRSA on him. And then, Jesus Christ. Yeah, that would kind of piss me off. I was looking at Get Back, the Beatles documentary on Disney Plus, and I'm like, George Harrison comes off as this kind of sarcastic, kind of dickish guy, like he's very negative and stuff. And I'm like, well, he'd probably been through about 8 years of them like treating him like a little brother and telling him, oh, that's cute, you go over there and stay in the corner. So yeah, I would see after a while, George Harrison would be kind of like, I'm a little negative. I'm a little negative about being in this group at this point.
Little chip on the shoulder.
You can see how that would happen. But no, I thought it was, I just want you to, what he said when he talked about the company, he talked about Tony Khan. He goes, Tony is a nice person, but he's not a boss.
Right. And the point and we've not kind of said that just
well
as fans, can we not pick that up?
Let's play a game in our lifetime, this century. What other wrestling owner / promoter has been described as a nice person, but this person was not really a boss and not really good at being a wrestling person, being a good wrestling boss? I was looking for Dixie Carter. Dixie Carter. Oh. Anyone?
Okay.
They would always... Anytime you would talk to somebody about... Well,
I would have gotten to her eventually. She's so low on my list of promoters. I was going everybody down my mental list.
Everybody pejoratively always talked to him, referred to him as Jacksonville Dixie. It's kind of coming true, because he said the point of that company is not to make money and to sell pay-per-views and to sell merchandise. That's what Punk said. And so you wonder, well, what is the point of that company? And Punk goes, well, it's to put on the best matches. Well, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But do you think Walmart and Target open up the doors every day and go, we just want to sell the best stuff? They do, but they also like need to make money. I'm sorry.
It's so true, man.
And if you've listened to the Jeff Jarrett, if you listen to My World with Jeff Jarrett, and you've heard him talk about all the Dixie stuff, going through with the Carters and all the stuff that they did. And after a while, they heard through the grapevine, maybe Dixie and Bob wanted to get out of the wrestling business. And Jeff goes, if you want to do this, we can line up some people and we can buy this from you, because I got some good folks. One of them was Toby Keith. Bob Carter basically didn't treat Toby Keith very seriously. Toby Keith, the late Toby Keith, God rest his soul, said, I can see that this is not going to be something serious for me. I'm going to head out and play some golf, which is essentially what happened. They had another guy. He was ready to go with the capital. He was ready to get in. Bob Carter was like, nah, it wasn't really a serious offer. So the point of that company when Dixie was running it was not to make money, sell pay-per-views, sell merch, sell tickets. It wasn't that. It was basically to give Dixie something to do. Kind of feels like this whole thing is like, let's give Tony his little plaything. Let's let that happen.
It's again, I'll say this. That interview validated pretty much everything we've been talking about since all that bull crap went down, whenever it went down a year and a half, 2 years ago, whenever.
I have to be very careful of confirmation bias, because this does confirm a lot of things that I thought, but I don't see anything to counter the stuff that he's saying. Like, nobody's okay. Like, that's one of the things that you heard. You heard people like supporting AEW and the AEW talent going, but nobody said, oh, he's fucking lying. That's not what happened. nobody said that. Oh, no, what a lie he told. Boo. Why would he lie like that? Nobody's saying that.
But the only thing that did come out of it are NDAs. And why is that?
Well, he doesn't. He said he didn't sign an NDA because he just doesn't want to talk about it. He chooses not to, because okay, he can talk about now the Brawl In thing. Yeah, that everybody got signed it, I think, except for Ace Steele's wife, which I have this great. This is a great idea for they can have a tour and not talk about it, but have her on the phone and put her on the microphone and just tell everything about it. And then they can sit there, Ace Steel and CM Punk, and go, I can't confirm or deny that.
And we all know what the wink winks mean. So, you know, yes, that would be perfect.
He does make reference to Larry having his back, though, doesn't he?
And then yes.
In that interview.
Well, see, that's what I was talking about. I guess I should have been more specific. When I said the NDAs, I was talking about that whole...
Yeah, the Brawl In.
The whole Brawl In shakedown deal.
And here's another piece of confirmation bias, and you can take it for what it will. Oh, here's Britt being told that he's right. What did CM Punk say about this scrum? He said it was stupid. I don't know why we did those things. It was dumb. They were dumb. Why do they do scrums in WWE? They do scrums in WWE because somebody pays a shit ton of money to put their fucking logo all over the place. Whether it's Slim Jim, Monster Energy Drink, I mean, Taco Bell, I don't know who it is. That's why they have press conferences in WWE. That's a great reason to have one.
Yeah, well, see, he even said, too, that he doesn't mind a scrum. Like, when he came back, he understood that something like that is like a news conference-y kind of situation, and he doesn't mind that. But, like, after events and stuff, like a sporting event does, it just doesn't – you're just asking for stuff. You're just asking for crap, you know?
I don't think things are that bad in AEW. I really don't, but I also think the piece is being held by just a tiny thread. I think the piece at that company is just like, and I think that's why they had to immediately go out there and do that thing to kind of reinforce stuff. Like, hey, nothing to see here. Everything's great. We're awesome. I don't know what's going on with your world, but everything's really good here.
But please tell me that... Not one person in there but I guess there had to have been people in there that are not like us and was like, oh, look at Edge coming out here and talking so great about this. This is great. This is great. I wonder why he's doing this. This is awesome.
That's so good. He just on his own, spontaneously.
On his own. Yeah.
Decided to come out and just like on a random
on a whim,
just defend the company.
First thing on the show.
So clearly.
It's great.
Clearly, that tells CM Punk, well, I hit the mark with that one.
Boy, he knocked it. He hit the ball on the seams, man. He hit the ball right on the dang stitches.
Then you're just like, I think Tony's just in super fear that his dad is going to show up and go, oh, no more checkbook. You're done. You're out. We're done. We have to concentrate on our least valuable franchise in the National Football League. They had a story that one of the guys that runs their scoreboard. Did you see that story? The guy that ran the scoreboard?
For, I don't think so.
For Jacksonville. He was like, he wasn't like a complete total employee, but he was like a contractor. And he was involved in kiddie porn. Yeah.
Oh.
Not good. Not good.
No.
Not good. This is on top of the guy who was an employee and an executive in the club, of course, stealing company money and gambling with it.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Things are. Things are super over in Jacksonville right now. Things are great in Jacksonville.
Not according to Edge.
Edge, I'm going to need you to go out there and lie your ass off. By the way, we see Edge like once every 2 months. And it's like, hey, can you fly in from Asheville and make me look good for like 5 minutes on TV, because that would be awesome if you could do that, Adam. Is that what I'm being paid all this money for?
It seems like it, but
every time Tony gets his feelings hurt.
Well, it's either him or Brian Danielson, and Danielson, I guess. I don't know why Danielson didn't come out and do it.
I think Daniel, and isn't Danielson on his victory tour right now?
he might be.
This is it. This is like the final, and then like allegedly he's going to sail off into the sunset or become an executive in this company. I don't know.
I don't want that to happen. I like Brian Danielson too much.
Yeah, but he's kind of.
I know what you're going to say.
Being the assistant principal, dude.
Yes, I know.
Mean, it's kind of a shitty look for him.
I agree, man. But I'm too forgiving sometimes on people I really like. And I think that's a perfect example of that. I really just want to say, tell him to F off. But then I think about Brian Danielson. And I'm like, no, I can't just let it. I can't do that.
He hit the ultimate dragon.
Ah, yes. So, I mean, it's a tough situation for me to not come out and just blast him like I can other people.
I like the guy a lot, but this role for him, as far as being like the school mom or whatever he's being right now,
it does need to be talked about a little bit. It just seems a little oddish to me, but
I don't know.
I don't either.
They've had a lot of great content coming out ahead of WrestleMania. Have you seen the Bray Wyatt thing yet?
Not yet. That's the one thing I have not seen.
It's really good.
I heard it was Colton told me a little bit about it. He said it was he seemed like it was a little bit long. Like
it was. They did kind of pack it at the end, but I thought they did a very good job, and it was, you know, it was touching because they talked. He had apparently a very close family. They talked to his, you know, his brother and his sister and his parents, and Barry's in there. It's very, you know, it's very sad, but it's very good.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. One thing I was going to say, I did read something about that it was apparently read into that Bo Dallas was coming back as the takeaway from that. I mean, not just, it was, I don't, it didn't sound like it was just in your face, I'm coming back. It was just kind of implied, I guess.
Did they say what kind of gimmick he's going to do?
I sure to God hope it's not Uncle Howdy, but I don't know. They had a picture of him as Uncle Howdy under the article when I read about it. So I'm like, I don't know.
Bo Dallas's future with WWE has been, this is ringside news. Bo Dallas's future with WWE has been shrouded in uncertainty, particularly after his portrayal of the character Uncle Howdy alongside Bray Wyatt, which was halted abruptly due to the Wyatt's untimely passing following a medical issue in 2022. Recently, Peacock aired the Bray Wyatt Becoming Immortal documentary, shedding light on Wyatt's career, blah, blah. According to reports from Fightful Select, this teaser indeed signifies Bo Dallas's eventual return to WWE television, although specific details regarding his comeback date and storyline plans are undisclosed. I hope he doesn't do anything like what his brother was doing or anything like what he was doing as far as the mask and all that stuff. Oh,
me neither.
Here's some more validation. All that Funhouse shit, absolutely Bruce Pritchard. Absolutely 100% Bruce Pritchard. You'll see in the documentary. I feel validated in such a great way.
Yes. Gosh, yes, people.
I knew it was.
Feels good.
These are the accolades. One, and I'm not here to shit on the guy. I just want to. This is how people's memories kind of get away from them. These are the Wrestling Observer Newsletter awards won by Bray Wyatt. Best gimmick, 2013, part of the Wyatt family. Best gimmick, 2019, as the Fiend. Most overrated, 2020. Worst gimmick, 2017. Worst gimmick, 2020. Worst feud of the year with Randy Orton, 2017. Worst feud of the year, 2019, Seth Rollins. Worst feud of the year, Braun Strowman, 2020. Worst feud of the year, 2021, with Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton. Worst worked match of the year versus John Cena at Extreme Rules. Worst worked match of the year, 2017, versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania 33. Worst match of the year versus Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell. Worst match of the year, 2020, versus Braun Strowman at Horror Show Extreme Rules. Worst match of the year, and I believe this would have been his final match, LA Knight at Royal Rumble. Those are the accolades won by Bray Wyatt, according to the Wrestling Observer.
One?
Yep. He has three positive. Nope, he has two positive ones and 14 negative ones.
Wow.
14 negative. And I like the guy. I thought he was fine, but let's, you got to remember what you got to remember.
I don't really remember him in those matches being that bad. I remember the whole Rollins one
for all the wrestling geeks that love him, love David Meltzer. Dave Meltzer. We're trying to get us some 5-star matches in Dave Meltzer's. Meltzer talked about some of this stuff with the Punk interview, and I think Punk called him a goof or something, and he was once again accusing the Bucks of leaking information to Dave. And Dave goes, "Well, I hate this. I didn't want to tell Punk that it wasn't me. It wasn't them telling me or whatever." But the point is, none of what anything that anyone possibly does or does not tell Dave Meltzer should ruin your company. That should not be a thing that drives
it. No, it should not.
At this point, Dave Meltzer has had more of an impact on the direction of that company than Tony Khan has. Period. Full stop. Stop me when I'm telling lies.
I mean, you could make a case that that's the whole problem.
That 100%.
That is the AEW's whole problem right now.
Vince would get down in the weeds with some of that shit, sure, but Vince wouldn't let that thing like rule his company. Come on.
I tell you what, I will say this. If it was reversed and let's say Vince was still in charge and everything, we wouldn't have seen an Adam Copeland come out and say that at the beginning of a show. That
there's no way.
There's no way.
It's not even possible. Yeah.
And here, and the whole thing about it to me is and you tell me where I'm wrong here. What in there that Punk said really warranted any kind of response? It wasn't like he went and drugged them across the damn city. No, I mean, he was being very, very, I don't know, cordial's the word, but he was being very polite, on the polite side about it. I don't know. I just don't get why Punk's interview warranted Copeland to come out and do that. I don't get it. That was nothing near a pipe bomb type thing.
Either Copeland saw that Tony was down by what was said, or Tony told him to do it. Those are the two options that I have for you. And you're correct. CM Punk did not say, fuck those guys. I hope they go out of business. I hope they burn to the ground. I hope they take the ashes and smear it on their own asses. Didn't say any of that stuff. Said none of that stuff. He said, I have friends there. I'm glad that they're doing well. All of that stuff he said. He said that Tony Khan was a nice person at least twice, maybe more than that.
That part blows my mind alone right there, to be honest.
Just don't ever let them know that it bothered you. You no-sell that fucking shit, man. if you see your ex-girlfriend or your ex-wife out with somebody and say, dude, you want to go downtown, you don't yell after him, hey, you bitch, you ruined my life. It's awful. You chill out with that shit, and then when you get home, you put your, you know, you put your hand through some drywall. That's what you do.
That's exactly what you do.
That's what the fuck you do. Not that either one of us would know anything about that.
No,
we would have
word of mouth
knowledge of any of that. NXT Stand and Deliver, Big Show coming up at noon Saturday. It is a premium event on the Peacock Network.
Peacock.
I think this is a pregame match. Yeah. Sean Spears against Joe Gacy. Ooh, so good to have Sean Spears back in the fold. There's the guy that deserves to keep falling upward.
I mean, at least come back as the 10, you know, instead of coming back as whatever.
I've heard things. I've heard different stories about that, and I bet you have too, about like, well, they were going to do it as this, and then, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I felt like he was... That whole thing got off to a terrible start in AEW when he cracked Cody upside the head. And then they were like, well, let's go with it. Your new gimmick is you're the chairman because you smashed him with a chair. Get it?
Not good.
If he comes in and does the job to Gacy, then it's fine. I don't have any issue with that.
Gacy is, I guess he's okay in the ring. I really hadn't paid that close of attention to him over the years like I should, but I he's definitely got a personality. I mean,
I think a lot of these guys I like. A lot of these guys we're going to talk about. We're kicking off the match, according to Wikipedia, at least one of the matches is going to be Ilya Dragunov against Tony D'Angelo. Do you feel that from 1 year ago, Ilya Dragunov is he hotter, colder, or about the same as he was a year ago?
Just basing it on like audience reaction, I'm going to go about the same.
I'd say same, maybe a tad cooler, but that maybe might be my perception. I think he's pretty close.
I guess I get him. I don't know. Does he appeal to you at all? I appreciate what he can do and stuff, but just something about him I'm just not into. I don't know.
I've always said that I like him. I think he's a good babyface. There's just a little something missing, and I can't quite put my finger on it.
Exactly.
But I like him. I think there's more, way more positive than negative, considering how long he's been around and what his ceiling is. I think he's got a pretty high ceiling.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and from what I can tell, have read and stuff, that they're really high on him, and I wouldn't be surprised if he drops the belt and ends up going up to SmackDown or Raw after WrestleMania. Yeah,
it's not a bad idea at all. Obafemi versus Donovan Dijak versus Josh Briggs, triple threat for the NXT North American Championship. Dijak's been good for a long time.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm missing something, but I just don't understand how he keeps getting sent down. They don't really give – I haven't even seen them give him a chance on the main roster.
I don't see what's missing from him. Like, he's got the size. To me, he's got the good heel character. He's got the facials. He's a good enough promo. That's the one where it's like, I don't really see what they're missing with that guy.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Considering some of the other like big guys that are kind of on the same level with him that they've put up like on the main roster and not thought twice about it.
Lyra Valkyria against Roxanne Perez, singles match for the NXT Women's Championship. Roxanne feels to me like she's ready to take the next step.
I think so. I think they're going to give her the belt and let her go heel, see if she can do it.
Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker against Axiom and Nathan Frazer. I mean, it'll probably be fine.
I guess they've not into it for some reason. I don't know.
Baron kind of turns me off. I didn't think they needed to put him together with Braun to learn the business or whatever, but
yeah,
it's fine. This one is one that sounds extremely random. Six woman tag team match, Thea Hall, Fallon Henley, Kehlani Jordan versus JC Jane, Kiana James and Izzy Dame. Yeah. I don't know.
JC Jane's really easy to hate. she's much better as a heel than she was as a half baby face or whatever she was there for a while.
And then you got your main event, which is like the real, this is like the real deal. Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams. I think that's just going to be, that's one of those where you give those guys at least 30 minutes and let them just go crazy.
Got to, man.
That's what I would do for with my territory. I would be like, I'd let
you kind of have to, man. It's kind of been boiling up and building up to that point.
It feels like it. I mean, it feels like it's, and they have done a good job of building it all up, and they have turned it, making it into what seems like a really, really big event. So, yeah, I would turn those guys loose and just let them just go crazy. And I bet they'll, I bet they're going to have a great match.
Oh, I really don't have a doubt, any doubts that they won't have a.
It's good match. 3¾ stars.
Yes.
Night one of WrestleMania tonight, by the way, as we record this, there is no SmackDown is on, and then they do the Hall of Fame, and then Roman Reigns is going to be the guy that is going to be inducting Paul Heyman.
How do you feel about that?
It's a solid B. It's a solid B or B plus.
It just seems like it's too easy of a choice. I mean, it's just like it's a lazy choice.
This is one of those where if the wrestling guys were still in charge of this company, I don't know if that happened. I think if the wrestling guys are still in charge of this company, you do get a Tommy Dreamer, a Bubba Ray Dudley, a Taz. You get one of those guys, somebody like that.
I was thinking like the guys you just named, have all of them come up there and like yeah. say a little bit, you know, I mean, it's really hard to pinpoint one, but just having Roman come up, I don't know. I mean, I get it. I know that it's all about WWE and this, that, and the other, but
he's their biggest. I think that's the thing. He's our biggest star.
Yeah.
That's the guy. He's in the current. And I think that was the thinking. Although Brian Heffron, I think he lives right there in Philly. Could have been
too easy, man.
Could have been yours. Although it would have been great if all of a sudden, surprise, bitches, it's Todd Gordon.
No.
Again, if you want the ultimate rib, you just bring out Jim Cornette at the last minute, and he'll be the guy that inducts him.
Now that would be great.
Well, they've known each other kind of since they were teenagers. I mean, so Jesus.
Makes as much sense as pretty much anybody, man.
You've heard that theory. They're basically the same guy. They're basically like Jim Cornette is just Southern Paul Heyman. They were just obsessed with wrestling. They both kind of started out as you know, photographers, and they kind of got their way in the business and kind of worked their way up and all that stuff. And they were managers and they were promoters. And then Jim actually never bounced any checks, but you know, Paul did. And then Jim a few months ago goes, "Yeah, my guys got old and fat, and Paul's guys got dead." So it's like little stiff, well, brother.
Yeah,
little
stiff, brother. Real stiff, yeah.
This is what's going on night one at WrestleMania. I don't know if this is what order this is in. Rhea Ripley against Becky Lynch. Becky's new book is out. It is called The Man. I don't have a good read on how this one is going to go, although Rhea Ripley's – I know that there have been fractures within the bloodline. They really have been isolated away from Rhea Ripley and her stuff lately. So I don't really have a good read on who's going to win that one. I think that's just going to be a tremendous match.
Yeah, I think so too. And if they are going to end up splitting the, what are they called again?
The bloodline? No, the Judgment Day.
Judgment Day. Yeah. If they're going to talking about splitting them up, then Rhea losing the belt would be a good catalyst to, you know, get that going. But it's hard. Like, I agree, man. This is a hard one to call. This really could go either way, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Gunther against Sami Zayn. I don't see Gunther's reign of terror ending anytime soon. I think he keeps that one.
I'm sorry. Not if this would have been Sami Zayn about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have said I think he might take it, but I don't know. This just seems like it kind of popped out of nowhere, and I can't see that with that. Being the case with Sammy just popping out of nowhere, I don't see how that can have Gunther lose the belt. You know,
if they figure out a way to get the belt on Cody, does it make sense for Gunther to have a collision course with Cody at some point? Like what?
Sure.
SummerSlam, Survivor Series. Yeah, I think that does. I also think it would make sense if they continue to have the belt on Roman for there to be a collision course between Gunther and Roman Reigns. So I think you've got it either way.
When I was a kid, I used to love that stuff, man. Yeah. Like when the Intercontinental Champion and the World Champion would go at it. Oh, yeah. Stuff like that.
You got a guy that's had this belt for a long, long time and a guy that's had this belt. Yeah, that makes complete sense. I mean, that used to be the way it was booked. The six-pack team ladder challenge for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. Your champions, Finn Balor and Damian Priest, this may be your breakup, although we keep forgetting now. Damian does have Money in the Bank. He has not cashed in. So just keep that in mind for this entire weekend. Finn Balor and Damian Priest against DIY. That's Gargano and Ciampa, who seem like they've been together since about 1986. Is that just me? Didn't they just form that tag team when Armando Bacot was a freshman at Carolina?
I believe. Hey, Cormac Ryan just graduated high school. Yes.
They also, the Awesome Truth, the Miz and R-Truth are going to be in this match. Well, clearly those guys are going over. To me, that's your new champs right there.
Well, no. Not in 2024, no.
The New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, they just have the New Day in there to have Kofi do all his wacky spots, right? That's essentially what they got.
Well, a New Day is a whole nother subject. I mean, we can get into that, but yeah, I think you're right.
Honestly, without Big E, they've lost a lot.
I mean, I like those two guys.
I do too.
I love those two guys, but it's just not the same, man. It's just not.
A Town Down Under that nobody gives a shit about. There's some fucking go away heat. I have go away heat with Grayson Waller. I'm sorry. I see nothing in that guy.
He is annoying as hell. He really is. I mean, you remember when people used to talk about Adam Rose being annoying?
Yes.
Adam Rose was not annoying compared to Grayson Waller. Not at all.
And then the new Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate.
Yeah, I'm not into that one either.
It's a hot brother-on-brother action when Jey Uso squares off against Jimmy Uso. The Usos were featured fairly prominently in the new A&E biography with Roman Reigns that was on Sunday night on A&E.
Yeah.
Talking about all of their times with him growing up, et cetera, et cetera. And they sort of kind of got him in the business, but they were all moving furniture down there in Pensacola. And I think it was, I don't know if it was Yoko or if it was Junior, but one of them came to him and said, fucking, you're going with me. We're going to Houston tonight. We're going to have Booker train you, and that's it. And they were like, okay, I got like 5 minutes. We'll go. They packed their shit, and they moved on. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. A six-woman tag team match. Is that the match that we've all been waiting for?
Give the people what they want, man.
That doesn't feel right to me. Latino World Order, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. That was interesting. I'll say that. When they did that on SmackDown, and Rey goes, and my tag team partner will be Dragon Lee, because everybody's chanting Carlito, and then Carlito kind of has that look on his face like, well, okay. So I don't know. It feels like they're teasing for something there, which I think would be pretty cool, because I think you and I agree Carlito's a pretty cool heel.
Yeah, we like much better heel than face.
But he's been a face ever since that Puerto Rico thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's Latino World.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty easy call on that one.
That's very. But you may get into a situation where Carlito comes up, starts beating up Ray, and then Dirty Dom has to turn face to save his dad. Right?
Wow. Boy, Judgment Day could just implode over WrestleMania.
This could be a huge problem, and then Rhea's going to break up with him. He has no more mommy. It's going to be bad.
The tag team championship, they lose the tag team championships in that.
I'm just going to say this. If they tease when they go to this match and they tease with Mama Mysterio and Aaliyah, Dirty Dom's sister over there, angle alert.
Angle just alert,
get ready.
For
get
sure.
Get ready. Angle alert right there. And then your night one main event, Bloodline, Rock and Roman against Cody and Seth freaking Rollins. So there you go. If Rhodes and Rollins win, all members of the Bloodline will be barred from ringside during the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match on night two. If Rock and Reigns win, the championship match on night two will be held under Bloodline rules. Are those like Freebird rules?
I think they just renamed them, basically, yes.
It's Freebird, which means everybody's got to wear Confederate flags for the ring. I don't know where they're going to get those at the last minute.
Good so luck.
I would say that if you were a betting man and you were able to wager on these like you are in Ireland and some other places, I would go with Cody and Seth freaking Rollins to win that match on night one. Which brings us to night two on Sunday. Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. That is a singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship. And Drew, low-key, has been doing some of the best shit he's been doing in a minute, I think. He's been really, as a heel, I think he's really embraced it. He's doing the good shit on social media. Him with Punk out there a couple of, in Chicago, I thought was fantastic. I wholly endorse what Drew McIntyre is doing right now.
It's awesome. That's wrestling. That is wrestling to me, what Drew McIntyre is doing.
It's like they always said it, like, if you are a good heel, you'll be a good babyface. That was an old school thing that they used to say.
Yeah.
And I always saw him as a babyface. I've seen him as a heel before, but I was like, but now I really get it. I get like, okay, now you can do, you're one of those guys that can, there's very few guys that can do both really well. Like Ric Flair could do heel or babyface and do both really, really well, right? He was always that guy.
Right.
I don't know what John Cena would have ever been able to do. He was really only able to work heel that one time when he did the thing with The Undertaker, and The Undertaker killed him in 5 seconds, right? Yeah. That one match.
Yes.
That was pretty much that was the only time he ever worked as heel, when he's out in the audience and he's drinking beer and he goes in there and he gets crushed. He gets just guzzled.
Forgettable, man.
Io Sky against Bayley. Any thoughts about this one?
Not other than I think Bayley will win.
You don't think we get to see old school Bayley with the fringe and the Bayley buddies and everything else? You don't think they roll her out?
Really think about that. Maybe.
I think they maybe do that. Like, and then if Izzy shows up, I mean, it would just be impossible. That'd be crazy. The crowd would go ape shit, right?
That would. And see, she could show up to like save her this time. Like
somebody check on check on Izzy's bookings for this weekend. God, I'm telling you, my mind is going crazy here. LA Knight against AJ Styles. Now they've again low key another great match. And I don't know if you saw this, but they got into it at the press conference.
Yes.
They decided to brawl at the press conference.
That was hilarious.
So it's like, well, we kind of need the heat. Yeah, dummy. So with all the other stuff that's going on this card and this weekend, this is not a match that a lot of people are talking about. But again, I think these guys are going to kill it. I think they're going to have a good match.
It is a candidate for like the most.
Your sleeper.
The sleeper match. That's the word I was thinking of. Thank you. The sleeper match of the whole weekend. Because nobody's talking about it at all, man. You're
not
so
really,
right.
Not really. With everything else that's going on, it's not really. Logan Paul against Randy Orton against Kevin Owens, triple threat match for the United States Championship. Logan Paul did have a tweet out there about hashtag we want Cody, so I don't think he's gotten the message from the higher-ups. That one feels like a chance for me to put the belt on Randy, because I think Randy's got a lot of popular public sentiment behind him as he kind of goes toward the sunset part of his career.
Yeah.
And I think this would be a nice way to kind of do that. And then I think he'll probably be out of the company by this time next year. And then he can drop that to somebody. And
I think you're right. Cause it just seems like every time to me, Randy's just, and I could probably say this about two or three other guys. When they get in the ring, it's like, I'm almost expecting them to get hurt, you know, and I hate to think that, but it's like, you know, just, but between like the history of his injuries, his age, and that sort of, I can't help it, man. I can't help but think that, but I hope that's what they do is what you're talking about. That'd pretty much be perfect.
The Pride, which is Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford with B-Fab on the drums. Against the Final Testament, which apparently is Karrion Kross, Akarn, and Rezar, with Scarlett and Paul Ellering. So, without Karrion Kross, they're just Authors of Pain.
And that's what I'm under the impression of. Yes.
And with Karrion Kross, they're the final testament.
He makes all the difference in the world, bro.
Old Testament, New Testament, Final Testament.
Final Testament.
And Paul Ellering, now in his sixth decade in this business, gets a paycheck from WrestleMania. God bless.
That's okay.
Him.
Good for him.
And I bet you he'll get it. I bet you he'll invest it and he'll make about 20 out of that. 20 probably out of that shit.
Yes.
And then your main event for night two, Roman Reigns against Cody Rhodes. Again, we don't know. Damian Priest has the Money in the Bank briefcase rocking and ready to go. If he does make his way down the ring, then the referee's going to go, "What? What do you want to do? I don't know why you're here. We're having a match. What? Why do you have that briefcase with you? I know what it says on it. What? Oh, wait a minute."
Every time. Man, that would be some shit if he did come down and take the coat after Cody wins and pins Cody and takes the belt. Oh my God.
That would be, oh my God. The Cody crybabies would go crazy.
Oh my God. I would have to laugh at it. I'm sorry. I would laugh. I'd be like, that's funny.
There's a certain brilliance in it, man.
There is.
There's a certain brilliance to it. I can't lie.
Damian Priest would have a whole new level of heat on him, man.
I don't want to let that ROH supercard go unnoticed. Hang on. The supercard of honor. Because Tony, you know, Tony did a press conference about that.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
I wonder who talked him into that.
I don't know, but guess what they said when they asked, "Do you want to react to what CM Punk said with Ariel Helwani?"
No comment.
I don't want to talk about that. I just really appreciate the contributions that CM Punk made, and we're just going forward to positivity. Supercard of Honor taking place tonight at the Licorice Center, I think that is, in Philadelphia. Features wrestlers from sister promotion AEW and AEW's partner promotion, World Wonder Ring Stardom.
Okay. Run that by me again?
Yeah. They're just called Stardom mostly.
Okay.
Pre-game match, Cole Carter and Griff Garrison versus the Spanish announced project on Angelico and Serpentico. God damn it. That sounds like a good match. I wanted to shit on that, but that's fantastic.
That sounds all right.
The varsity athletes, Tony Nese and Josh Woods with Smart Mark Sterling versus To Be Announced. That's your other pregame show. Maysera versus Empress Nexa Venus. I don't know who these people are. Mina Shirakawa and Maika versus Tam Nakano and Queen Quest. I don't know who these people are.
No.
Kyle Fletcher and Lee Johnson. I've heard of Kyle Fletcher. I don't know who he is. Johnny TV. We know who that is. With Taya Valkyrie versus Dalton Castle. That'll be a good match.
That should be a good match.
Dalton Castle has no bad matches, and Johnny Morrison hasn't had a bad match.
Speaking of Dalton Castle, have you heard the thing about the boys?
I heard they got cut.
Did you hear their response?
What was their response?
Somebody asked why they were let go to Tony or somebody. Yeah. It wasn't Tony, and they basically said that the boys didn't show up a couple of times when they were asked to for events. I don't know if there's TV or whatever, but they were no shows basically. And the boys both individually tweeted, that's not true.
That's bullshit.
We have something to tell you and we will get around to doing that.
Oh, so, and not if you sign an NDA, you won't.
Well, I don't think they did. I don't think you do.
Do you know what a reservation is? See, you know how to take the reservation, but you don't know how to hold the reservation.
And that's the most important part.
That's really the key part. Undisputed Kingdom, Taven and Bennett against the Infantry, Carly Bravo and Captain Sean Dean. I don't know who those people are. Billy Starks versus Queen Anamata. I kind of know who those people are. Athena versus Cheetah. I kind of know who those people are. And then main event is Eddie Kingston on the championship against Mark Briscoe. And I know who those people are.
Couple of questions on that card, but overall, it doesn't sound too bad.
No, I don't know how much they're charging for that. I don't know if you have to be a, you have to belong to the Ring of Honor Club or whatever. I don't know, but pretty cool.
It is a pay per view, though, right?
I'm pretty sure they. I would hate to think they wouldn't put that on pay per view. Even Tony with his pet project. I'm looking on Fight TV right now. Maybe it's on Bleacher Report. Maybe you can get it on Bleacher Report.
If it's more than $30, it's too much. I will say that, though.
Yeah, but he's overpricing some of his shit, too, you know?
Well, that I mean, just
crazy.
But between that and just the fact that it's WrestleMania weekend and people are forking out money left and right, you kind of want to go the Matt Hardy route and go cheap so more people will buy it.
Bleacher Report is affiliated with the Turner Networks and all that stuff, and of course they've streamed some of his pay-per-views. This is the tabs across the top of Bleacher Report when I go to it, which I know is a little different than BR Live, but bear with me. NBA, you can click on that and get your NBA news. MLB, MCBB, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, NFL, NHL, WWE, sports, scores, play. What's missing?
Hockey?
I see zero AEW on there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there it is. Under the sports tab, there's a drop down that gets you to AEW. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that's okay. That's kind of like the tab on ESPN when you look for women's college basketball.
Exactly.
And men's tennis.
Any other closing thoughts on another award-winning episode of Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
I'll say it again, man. I seem like I say it every year, but I distinctly remember us doing a show. It seems like it was just a couple of weeks ago during the holidays. And it was like, we're talking about Royal Rumble coming up. And I'm like, right. Yeah, I guess it is coming up on WrestleMania season. And here we are, one day away. It blows my mind how time just flies like that.
It'll be here again, buddy. As you get older, these years just keep just cycling right by.
Sad but true.
It's a crazy thing. Bryant is available for your social media pleasure. Bryce Sports, Instagram, and also on the X. Stanley Jackson 23 on TikTok. He's got a lot of TikToks with his dog. So that's cool stuff. I am at Real Britt Whitmire on Instagram and also on Threads. And we always, as always, we appreciate your support. Till next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.